10-0.
Keith Murphy.
This is your time.
Andy Fails.
Whoa, I don't play defense.
It's the Murph and Andy Show, powered by AD.
Just a bit outside.
On 1460 KXNO.
Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. Thank you for giving us part of your time. We appreciate that. Keith Murphy, along with Trent Condon, who is in for Andrew Downs. Andy Fails and AD both gone today. Chris Williams has hobbled off after being humiliated at the end of hour number one. Hopefully he's on his way to release the pod. Trent, something I was remiss to mention in hour one, maybe you can catch me up, because I am seeing a lot of lovely people in our Twitter feed, and it seems there are some flowers at stake. What's going on with the Hy-Vee flowers?
Yes, Hy-Vee is hooking us up in an opportunity for a lot of people to win flowers for their loved one, or maybe if you just want to keep them on their own, just go to KXNO onto our Twitter page. That's where you can find all the information. It's at 1460 KXNO is where you can find us on Twitter. All the information, all the details will be there, and away we go. Your chance to win roses from Hy-Vee.
So giving away about a dozen, something like that,
yes.
I think. And you have to come pick them up Friday, which is Valentine's Day. So
Friday afternoon, I believe they said afternoon we'll have them. So between 12 and 5, pick them up and you're good to go.
Okay.
Just a chance to win. KXNO on the Twitter page is where you can find details.
Appreciate Hy-Vee doing that. A dozen of our listeners will have a dozen roses to give away this Friday. Seeing a lot of nice photos coming in from people for Hy-Vee and KXNO to consider who to give those flowers to. Right now, time for Trending Iowa.
Time to find out what's Trending Iowa.
God, he just sounds
rough.
Upset. Excited and upset.
We'll see if this gets them going. NBC play tonight. Drake on the road at Missouri State, the first place UNI Panthers hosting Illinois State, who gave UNI one of their two conference losses this year.
Yeah, it should be a good game. Boy, the Drake Bulldogs have a tough couple of road games here back to back. But Drake had a lead at Northern Iowa before giving up a long, lengthy run at the end of the game there. Ends up being a 10-point game. That's one of those covers that a guy that pays attention to the numbers, that's a near bad beat. I guess it's not all the way bad beat.
A good win if you're on the other side, as I was. I was laying the points with the Panthers, and you said you were watching this game on your phone as you're at a bar that didn't have ESPN Plus. You know, that was on Fox Sports Midwest. You could have picked it up that way. It was also there, but regardless
information
of that,
I could have used Saturday.
You should have texted me.
I was watching it ESPN 3, I think.
Yeah.
The 3 and plus get
confusing,
but this was 3. But yeah, that's good information I needed 72 hours ago.
So as you're watching on your phone, did you see, though, how deep that Spencer Haldeman 3 was?
Not as much. I've seen it since, so I'm aware of how
absolutely
deep it was.
Incredible. He had to be... That had to be a 30-footer, right?
Yeah, that was an old Chris Kingsbury shot from back in the day. Just like dribbled across half court, launch.
Just didn't have a cigarette dangling from his mouth like Kingsbury liked to do.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that was at
not
that was
on
downtown,
the floor,
I guess. Yeah.
Well, the NBA All-Star Game, aren't they putting in like some part of the shooting competition, 4- and 5-point shots? I think they are.
They've done that, yeah, with the different... Is that tricking it up too much?
I think it could. These guys are so good at those long distances. Like, there's video from John Walters today of Tyrese Halliburton cast on his left arm, just his right arm, half court, perfect form, swish.
Different world, isn't it?
Maybe they should play him tonight.
Regional duels tonight. High school wrestling continues next week already. It is the state tournament. It'll be a week away from the team competition, followed by traditional state, 8 days away. In Class 3A here locally, Waukee, Centennial, Johnston, and Southeast Polk all hosting duels tonight. And thank you to Channel 13 last night. I saw you guys down at Winterset having the duels there on the 2A and 1A side of things. They started last night, but love to see that wrestling there as a wrestling fan myself.
Yeah, Mark Freund was down there, and you could see Winterset, as you know, as a wrestling guy. Winterset has a proud tradition, but they had a decade or so where they weren't getting it done as they're historically used to. So to come back and get the program back to where they qualified for the duels, that was an excited crowd there, and the man, the pride on those kids' faces when you qualify for state, especially if it's not something you've grown used to. Some of these guys are so good, they're just used to being in state every year. But when it's been a little while and you break through, man, that's the best.
So I grew up in a small town, North Iowa, Osage. I've talked about it many times on these airwaves and others. But you grew up, what, in Florida? Did you ever live in a small town? I mean, you've been here
in
Des Moines for so long. In Vermont, okay.
Yep.
So you know about that connection, that small town, and when you get to the state tournament or whatever, yep, however it's settled at the high school level, it is such a big deal.
It is, and I think it's probably better in those small towns now. They're, as you know, all across Iowa, a lot of those small towns are challenged right now to keep moving forward and to keep things open and keep enrollment up. There's a lot of challenges out there. The cities are growing, but the rural areas in many parts of Iowa are declining. And consolidation, you know, we see this all the time. Like this fall when we were on RVTV, and we were there at Hubbard, and you know, just one of many places in Iowa. They got this fantastic old straight out of Hoosiers gym that now is like almost a storage facility, because all the little towns now have one high school that feeds into like a county high school instead of all the little schools. But man, when each town, and you understand this cost more, but when each town had its own school and its own teams, that gives the whole community a rallying place. Every home basketball game, every home football game, baseball, softball, volleyball, when that goes away, it's tough. It's never quite the same when your former rivals are now all part of the same school.
And consolidation is going to continue to happen.
It is.
You know, we hear just at the state level, we have 99 counties in Iowa. Is that a little bit silly? Yeah, you can make that argument, but that community aspect and community, well, we've seen this here on the radio side of things, the importance of community, and at the small school level, it's huge. It's big at the big school level tonight. And a shameless plug, I'll be on the call tonight with CISN for the Waukee duel, as they'll take on the winner of Dallas Center Grimes and Linmar for a chance to go to dual state next week.
So where you grew up in Iowa, is that the same now, or has it been consolidated since you were there?
They're still good there. Osage is still just one school. St. Ansgar is to the north of us. They're still one school. Riceville over to the northeast a little bit. They're all in the same county, though. Eventually, will it happen? Eventually, will that start to kind of trickle that way? You'd have to figure. Riceville is one of the smallest one-town schools in the state left. I think their average enrollment is like their beds 9 through 11. It's like 60 kids, 20 per class. So you got to figure eventually that's going to go down for them.
It's kind of like what I was talking about with name, image, likeness, and the moving of college football toward more compensation of some kind for players, especially in football and men's basketball, at least the stars. There's the intellectual side of it, and there's the emotional side of it. And when you look at consolidation in these counties, you get the struggle for school dollars and why it makes sense to put everybody on the same grounds and in the same buildings. But
one superintendent.
Yeah, one superintendent.
You're not paying as many principals. Instead of three high school principals, you're paying one.
And the Girls Union and the Athletic Association, I believe it's the only one left of the 50 states where there's two. There's one for the girls and one for the boys. And a lot of people think that makes no sense. But there are people who are very passionate about the reason girls' sports have always mattered more in Iowa than they do many places, certainly more than they did when I was in Vermont or in Florida, is because the girls' union makes sure that point of emphasis is there. I mean, not everybody has girls' sports matter as much as they do here and as they should.
Well, and I remember back when the University of Iowa had their two athletic departments still separated.
Right.
Were they the last one in the country that had two separate athletic departments, a men's and women's? I believe if they weren't the last, one of the last that had that. Have they lost anything because of that? Women's sports is still important at the University of Iowa, but I'm sure there are people that would make that argument that they lost something when they consolidated into one.
Yeah, and you get some people that say that, well, that's old-fashioned thinking, too. You know, you can have a male athletics director or female athletics director just looking over the whole deal. And there are some who make the argument that they should put the union and the association together, but I think the thinking goes that you just worry about your athletes and teams and schools with more emphasis. But 49 other states don't do it that way.
Finishing up, Iowa State on the road. They're down in Oklahoma. First full game without Tyrese Halliburton since the latest injury to him. He are a 10-point underdog in this one. Open up, 8.5-point dog. Looks like Sooner money coming in.
Ooh, Sooner money coming in. Yeah, this on the surface, this looks like a disaster for Iowa State. I know there are some opportunities there to get some, find out what you have, try to build for the future, see who can do what. All of those opportunities exist, but you also want to win some basketball games. It's just when the one sample you have is no Tyrese Halliburton against Florida A&M, and you've managed to lose that game at Hilton Coliseum, you can see why fans are worried. But Halliburton reminded us all the other day that Iowa State didn't have much warning that he was going to miss that game. And now in practice leading up to this, they know they're not going to have Halliburton, so they can start preparing. But what would you do if Oklahoma's not that good, but what would you do on the 10?
I would. I think there's going to be a bounce back from Iowa State here. Net long term, this team's in big, big trouble.
They did finish against K-State without Halliburton.
They did, and Bolton's obviously going to have a whole lot more opportunities. I'm excited to see Trey Jackson out there in an even bigger role. I'm excited about his future with the program, and I don't know. The pressure hasn't been on for a while, but maybe knowing that your best player is out, maybe that the guys will elevate. They will bounce out there and understand that they have to pick up more slack, and you'll see a little bit more. So in terms of that, in terms of the gambler in me, and you know I have plenty of that in me, I'm going to be grabbing those points with the Clones tonight.
That's it for Trending Iowa.
Jeez, sounds a little bit like you need to hide under your desk. Michigan State is hiring Colorado's Mel Tucker as head football coach. Now, this is the same Mel Tucker who had said no to MSU. But as I mentioned yesterday, when a school with deep pockets gets desperate, beware the money truck backing up. That is what has happened here. So a guy with one season as a head coach and a 5-7 record at Colorado doubles his salary. So he's a former Wisconsin player. He was a Bears defensive coordinator. He was an Alabama assistant under Nick Saban in 2015, a Georgia assistant for 3 years, including the defensive coordinator in 2018, Colorado's head coach for one season, 5-7. This is his third job in 3 years, and he is a guy who is on the record for saying, quote, "Real life isn't transfer portal." So this is one of many coaches who doesn't like the transfer portal, doesn't think that guys should be able to transfer, but just sold a bunch of recruits, media, athletes, administrators on his commitment to Colorado and bolts after one season for a better offer with multiple years left on his contract, and pledging the whole time that he was all in on Colorado. He's not the only guy that does this, so when you have a loyal guy, appreciate him. This is the guy, too, Trent, we talked about on the show. This is the guy who promised some recruits he would get those retired jerseys reversed, like the former Supreme Court Justice. What's his name? Anyway, the Byron Wizzer...
Wizenator.
No, Wizard.
That was Ontario Smith.
Yeah, it's a whole different guy. Ben, taking you back to your Vikings again, right? so he's leaving Colorado. He's leaving Colorado. Leads us to a quickie poll that I still need to post. If a coach abruptly bolts under contract, should players and recruits be free to transfer and be eligible immediately?
It's a simple yes, no.
It's simple yes, no. I think yes. I think if the coaches can do this, the recruits and players have to be able to do this.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And one thing that I had been wondering about, and I mentioned it during my show today, because I haven't heard a national perspective on it. We've seen so many kids now that sign in December, and then they start their college eligibility in January, and it's a chance to go through spring practice on the football side of things, get acclimated to college life, and then you're ready for your true freshman year. And you can still redshirt if you do that, but there's so many guys that are doing that. And when these late coaching changes happen, you've already started school. You've already began your program at Michigan State, at Colorado, whatever it may be. And with that, what does it mean for those kids? Are they locked in? Is the NCAA going to give waivers to every single one of them? I think at the very least, it's got to be a talking point because, yeah, we know the guys that went to play for a coach, want to transfer someone else. There's been plenty of waivers about that. But I wonder about the kids that are 18 years old, still really should be in high school, their final semester, yet they're stuck at a new university.
Yeah, and these kids have to be taught, they have to be coached better on picking the school and not the coach.
It says it on the national letter of intent. You are signing with a program, not a coach.
But boy, it doesn't happen that way. It just doesn't. They get attached oftentimes to an assistant coach, and the head coach is the closer. And boy, Colorado, just a bunch of guys there got left with it. Tom Brands, wrestling coach of the number one ranked Iowa Hawkeyes, gets a contract extension through 2026. So that's announced by the University of Iowa today. So Brands has the team back to number one. There's a commitment to a multi-million dollar facility and upgrades for wrestling. So Iowa wrestling bouncing back a little bit. Not from sports, but it is interesting in light of the New Hampshire primary, which was won by Bernie Sanders last night. A new Gallup poll shows 61% of Americans say they are better off now than when President Trump took office. Just 36% say they are not better off. Why is that significant? Well, the 61% better off number is higher than the reelection numbers of incumbent President Obama, incumbent President George W. Bush, incumbent President Bill Clinton, and incumbent President George H.W. Bush.
Wow.
So that is a big number as President Trump's popularity continues to peak. It's right now at his highest approval rating ever. And again, 61% of Americans say they are better off than when Trump took office.
So I believe I'm hearing this, Keith Murphy now reporting that it's going to be a landslide come November.
I am able to report that the Democrats better come up with a better plan than they've had the past week.
It doesn't look good.
Or it is going to be a landslide. And President Trump also is going to be at the Daytona 500 coming up on Sunday. So all of that is going on. Tim joins us at 284-5966, 284-KXNO. Hello, Tim.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Great.
Hey, Tim, while I have you, before you get your point on here, I want to call for a three-point play at 284-5966, 284-KXNO for a chance to win the Jethro's $30 gift card. And now, Tim, your thought on the Chicago Bears.
Oh, well, they kept Trubisky and then Taysom Hill's out here trying to get a franchise quarterback position. I was just wondering your thoughts on if he's going to land somewhere, and if the Bears keeping Trubisky, would you rather have Trubisky or Hill, or who would you rather have?
I don't have a strong opinion, Tim. Do you? Because I haven't seen enough from Hill to pick Hill over Trubisky. I did see Trubisky have a double digit win season for the Bears. I don't think he's elite. I don't think he's a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. But what do we have to go on with Hill?
Well, he didn't throw a touchdown pass, but he's clearly athletic. And then if you work him out, I don't know how good his arm is, but if we figure that out, I don't know. I feel like I'd take Hill over Trubisky if he can prove that he can throw the ball at least 20 yards. I mean, half of Trubisky's throws were 15 yards or less, weren't they? I don't know the exact stat, but
yeah, there were a lot of out in the flat type passes, dumps and slant routes. But so, Tim, to me, what you're saying, though, more than anything, says you don't believe in Trubisky, because you'd rather take a chance on Hill, which you don't know a lot about, than Trubisky, who you feel like you've seen enough, you know it's not going to work.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate that. Let's get to the three-point play here. Get started with Bob. Person who completes the three-point play gets a $30 gift card to Jethro's Barbecue. Bob, can you name the sports voice?
Wrong to left center and deep, way back. Get up, get up, get out of here, and that one's gone for Ryan Braun.
Bob, who is that?
He must be in the front row.
Yeah, he isn't. He's in the not front row. But do you know his name? Now, your name is Bob.
You're killing me.
All right, Bob, you'll have to try again another time. Justin, Bob didn't know the name of the broadcaster, yeah, do you?
I don't know it either.
Okay.
It had to be baseball. Thanks, Trent, for taking the training wheels off the three-point play.
I'm making it a little more difficult,
yeah,
apparently.
There you go. Yeah, he has. He went with Candlebox yesterday. Jason,
that's a great one.
Do you know that sports voice?
Bob Uecker.
Bob Uecker is the answer. Bob couldn't quite get that, although he knew the person. All right, musical act.
I'm going tough again.
Make up your mind.
Jason, I don't know this. Do you?
It's either Weezer or the Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself.
No. All try right. Back with us.
All right, Jason.
This is tough. This is real tough. My musical taste is, well, it's about 90 to 93. Maybe that'll help people.
Are you trying to just keep the three-point play going through Mr. Movie's segment?
We'll take it up through the Fanatics.
All right. Well, the phones are all ringing here. You got to give somebody a shot, Trent. Well, Trent stacks up a couple of more callers here. Should mention the NFL has reinstated Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett of the Browns missed suspended six games after his vicious attack with his helmet on a bareheaded Steelers quarterback, Mason Rudolph, last season. The league lifted the ban today after Garrett met with Commissioner Goodell. All right, here we go. Joe, can you name that band?
Yeah, it's Toadies.
Is that accurate, Trent?
He nailed it.
All right, way to go, Joe. If you can name this movie, or is it a TV show, Trent?
It's a movie.
All right.
She is suffering from the worst case of hemorrhoids I have ever seen.
Joe.
Ace Ventura.
Nailed it.
Man, way to go, Joe. Put you on hold. You're a winner. Whew. Trent's making people really work for that $30 gift card from Jethro's. Iowa men's basketball hasn't had an AP First Team All-American since 1952. I read this last week. I saw Mike Loss of the Cedar Rapids Gazette mention again today. How is that possible? No First Team AP All-American since 52?
They've had good teams.
But they've had great players.
Yeah.
None of those guys were First Team AP All-American.
Downtown Freddie Brown lost
not
to Rick Mount.
In the 70s and the 80s, none of those guys?
BJ, Roy, Ed, they were three-headed, just never had that singular player.
Never. Andre Woolridge,
five best teams
none of those guys?
Minnesota
ever?
Had better dudes than Andre Woolridge, at least according to the voting that year.
That,
and Bobby Jackson.
That is one of the most fascinating stats I've seen in a while, that Iowa hasn't had a first-team All-American in nearly 70 years, because Luka Garza, unless he's injured or somehow falls way off, he's going to be that guy, should be that guy. All right, when we come back on the Murph and Andy Show, we'll have the play of the day, and Mr. Movie reviews the least watched Oscars in history.
iHeartRadio.
It's time for the play of the day, powered by the Iowa Speedway.
Winston gets in the paint, scoops it up, they'll go to Tillman with the follow and the stuff. The Sumo loses his balance, and Michigan State, with the follow stuff from Xavier Tillman, gets out of Champaign with a 1-point.
Get tickets and information at iowaspeedway.com. Now, Murph and Andy go to the movies with Mr. Movie, Mike Woody. Powered by the team at D&P Small Engines. Get current and past reviews at MrMovieReviews.com.
Mr. Movie, have you looked ahead to the forecast for tomorrow, the one-day cold snap?
Looks a little brisk.
Oh, my gosh.
It's going to be a cold morning going to the Y.
Like wind chills of minus 30-ish?
You can do it. Come on.
Yeah.
I ran in that stupid red flannel run last weekend.
Why'd you call it stupid?
Because it was 16 degrees and I'm running in snow.
Did you run in red flannels?
I did.
Yeah? How'd you do?
I think I placed 12th in my age group.
Well, that's good.
It's not bad. If I'd have known I was that close to the top 10, I might have run
faster. Might have tried harder. Yeah, you're just trying to stay alive at that point. It was so cold. Our out-of-the-box topic this week is we look back on the our favorite movies of the decade. This is taking a couple of months because there's so many different genres, but we'll go through this kind of quickly here. But my horror movie is the genre this week, and I think you picked this because Andy's not here because he has not seen any horror movies.
Right.
I haven't seen many. And I don't even, I'm hopeful that you'll accept this as a horror movie, but I picked The Quiet Place.
Absolutely.
Okay. I didn't know if...
That's the one I gave to Andy last week because we had to postpone this while you were on one of your little...
Yeah. I think this, 90 minutes. Oh. It's tight. It's, it just does a lot with tension, things you don't see. You know, those can be scary than what you do see. Yeah. Kind of the old Steven Spielberg Jaws playbook of what you're not sure is out there is more terrifying than somebody with a knife in the middle of the screen.
And the scene giving birth in the bathtub.
Oh, gosh.
Without having to make noise.
Oh, yeah, or boy. Even when John Krasinski's wife, what's her name? Emily Blunt. Yeah, she steps on the exposed nail going down the stairs, and she knows... If you haven't seen the movie, the monsters only attack when there's noise.
Yeah, when they hear you.
So you have to stay quiet all the time, including giving birth, small baby. So you really need to think twice about even having a baby in these conditions. I just thought it was terrific. I'm not surprised there's a Quiet Place 2, and I think it's out pretty soon.
It is next month, and the trailer looks really good.
Yeah, so that's, you could, because of the premise, as long as... The world doesn't come to an end, you can keep this going indefinitely. What did you pick?
I picked, because I handed that movie to Andy, who then blew off this week. I picked a movie called The Conjuring, which has, it was released in 2016. And it's about a couple, and it's a true story. It's a true couple who go around and investigate paranormal things. And in the first movie, they're in London. There's a single mom, and there is just some weird, weird stuff going on in her house. But this series, I think they're on their fourth or fifth sequel at this point.
Oh, wow.
With another one coming out. So it is very effective. It's got Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga. And
I remember you really liking this, yeah.
It's pretty darn scary.
Trent, do you have a horror movie you enjoyed?
So I took a look here, the last decade of horror movies. I haven't seen any of them. There's a list of 50.
How about It? Did you see It?
No.
Okay. I was trying. I've
probably
about Get
seen
Out?
Five movies over the last decade, and
none of them
fall under the horror
genre. Trent needs to Get Out more.
Well, maybe not. I mean, I'm increasingly, I don't want to go feel bad. These put me through it. Even The Quiet Place, I was just a mess.
But a good, scary movie is.
I know.
It's fun.
All right, let's get into the theaters this week with movies out there. The rhythm section?
The rhythm section is a movie that snuck into town. I think it's been here for 2 weeks. I think it leaves tomorrow night. So, I mean, you got to hurry. But it's an Amazon film. So if you don't catch it, it's probably going to end up on Amazon pretty quickly if it's not already there. It's a movie about with Blake Lively. She plays a woman whose entire family has been killed in a plane crash, and she's completely traumatized. She's working as a prostitute. She's strung out on meth or whatever, and she's reached out to her by a independent journalist who says, no, it was a terrorism. There was a bomb on the plane. That's what happened. And it starts this whole thing where she has to be trained to go and get some revenge here. Ewan McGregor's in it.
Yeah, the premise sounds good. The release in January, February makes me feel like it. Did they miss the mark?
Well, and the title, Rhythm, I mean, you think it's some kind of musical.
I thought it was going to be about a marching band.
No, the rhythm section is your body, and your heart is the drum, and he uses it in the training. It's a pretty darn good movie. It's not a great film, but it's definitely worth checking out.
All right, how about Birds of Prey, which is, does that come out of the Suicide Squad?
Suicide Squad, yeah. This is Harley Quinn, played again by Margot Robbie.
I saw the trailer. This movie looked bonkers.
It is bonkers from the start to the finish. She has, at the beginning of the movie, she's broken up with the Joker, and
oh gosh,
she is. I mean, it's I can't even begin to describe all of the craziness of this movie, but it's really well done, and she is. Is there something that this woman can't do?
She's really good. So that, I mean, do you need to be, this strikes me as something you need to be a deep level comic book fan or a fan of these movies. Cause I just the preview made me feel like somebody had dropped acid in my Coke.
All you need to know is that this is the Joker's ex-girlfriend.
Okay.
And she's as crazy as he is. And please don't take kids. It is really, really violent.
So these are
in a comic book way, but
yeah,
still.
Yeah. These are B plus.
B. Both okay. of those are Bs.
And Les Mis again.
Les Miserables, which is playing at the Fleur, and again, I think it's leaving this week. So if you want to see it, hurry. But also, I believe it's an Amazon movie as well. So you're good there. And it's not the musical. It's not even the same story. It's based on an incident in the, I think it was the early 2000s in Paris, where there's a new cop and he's on the beat with these other two guys and some kids are screwing around and they get aggressive with the officers and one of the kids gets hurt and they cover it up and it's very intense. This was the movie that France said, you know, we want this to be our entry into the Oscars this year, which then got killed by Parasite.
Yeah.
But it's a good movie. It's an action movie. It's a B plus.
No songs.
No songs. No.
No Russell Crowe ballads.
No. Thank God.
Mr. Ruby is with us here. Mike Woody. The Oscars were this past Sunday night. They are finally over. No hosts again this year. How, by the way, just as a guy who loves movies even more than me, and I love movies, I've watched the Oscars my whole life. Do you feel like the show is better when there's a good host like a Billy Crystal, a Johnny Carson, a Steve Martin, a Chris Rock to tie it all together, Ellen, Whoopi Goldberg?
Absolutely, but we haven't had a good host in a while. So that was kind of the problem.
So do you think this is the way to go, or do they need to try harder to find a good host?
I think it would be nice to have a host to just kind of pull it all together. But I don't mind the way it's working now.
Well, Steve Martin got a good jab in on the Iowa caucuses, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Oh, man. You knew it was coming.
Well, you did.
Yeah.
Everybody pretty much got a good jab on the Iowa caucuses.
I'd sign up for Steve Martin and Chris Rock. The two absolutely. Of them could probably do it. Or
they were a hoot.
Maya Rudolph and Kristen Wiig, they could probably host the Oscars.
How about Ricky Gervais, because he's out of the Golden Globes.
Man,
he brings some of those old people right out of their chairs.
He had somebody ask, like, what would be your opening jokes, and he was tweeting those out, and they would have gone over well, not with the audience, but with some of the people at home, some of them. All right, so in my Oscar pool, and I was worried about recency bias, but last week on your recommendation, I watched Parasite, and it is one of the few movies in my lifetime that as I pressed play, I had absolutely no idea what the movie was about, where it was headed. I knew nothing. I mean, nothing.
If you hit pause at any point, you would have no idea what's coming next.
Yeah, you told me don't look into it, which is hard for me because I usually want to see if I think I'm going to like a movie. But I followed your advice, and now I've since given that advice to anybody else because I've had some people say, should I watch it? What's it about? And I said, yes, you should watch it. No, I'm not going to tell you what it's about. Try to go in knowing nothing.
Yeah, because it's just about two families.
Yeah, as the movie starts, it's a foreign language film, first one to ever win Best Picture, and the subtitles make you pay more attention, if anything. But I watched it, and then the next night, Jenny and my mom and Colin were all saying, well, what was it like? So I said, all right, let's just watch the beginning and see if you want to keep watching Parasite. And they said, fine. And like at the 15-minute mark, I said, all right, you want to keep going? And they all said yes. And we watched the whole thing.
Wow.
And everybody agreed it was fascinating. And I wouldn't say my mom loved it, but she was never bored.
Right.
And
you can appreciate it without liking it.
Yeah,
or loving it.
I don't think since I saw Pulp Fiction the first time have I had anything make me go, wow, that was original. Yeah. And it has a lot to say about certain subjects. And again, I'm not going to say what those subjects are because then I'm hinting what the movie's about. But there's some deeper meaning and discussions. You could sit around a table afterwards and just discuss some of what the director and writer is saying about society. Yeah. Much like The Dark Knight or movies that sometimes have layers. Oh,
he's definitely got something to say.
He's got something to say.
But he won Best Screenplay, Best what used to be called Foreign Film is now called something else. Best Director and Best Picture.
The Best Director almost always goes to the Screen Actors Guild winner, which was Sam Mendes for 1917.
Right, who I had picked.
Me too, because I was just going with a 90% chance there. Nope. And then I won my family Oscar pool by picking Parasite as Best Picture in an upset because I thought, man, and you worry, well, it's fresh in my mind, but the more I thought about it, the more I was like, man, this is like nothing else.
If you watch that week, I mean, even since we did the show last week, my mind changed because the buzz was just picking up. I switched Sunday morning to 1917 for picture and director.
And it was the favorite.
And I got clobbered.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I was chatting with Josh Young, the former Drake star, on Twitter the other night. He's like, should I see Parasite? And I was like, yes, but don't look
research.
Into it. Just now, and I don't think everybody is going to love it, but I can't imagine anybody being bored or sorry that they watched it.
Now, can you figure out what Joaquin Phoenix was talking about?
No.
He was just like way out there.
And Renee Zellweger was meandering a little bit.
Yeah,
she
got a little lost.
Yeah, the answer to that is no. All right, so what else quickly surprised you about the Oscars? Part of the problem, it needed the Parasite upsets because up till then it was absolutely predictable.
And that's what surprised me, that there was not that major upset, and it's almost always never Best Picture. I mean, that's rarely an upset, but... It was this year.
Yeah, because Pitt, Zellweger, Joaquin Phoenix, Laura Dern.
We knew all of those.
Yeah, it was going right by line there. And he was, I can't remember his name, the director of Parasite, but he was a really engaging speech giver, even though he needed a translator.
And he kept referencing, I'm going to go get drunk tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to go
now
drink.
I'm going to drink all day.
Got even more fans after he looked so happy and exuberant. So not many surprises there. We also learned if you're up against Elton John in a musical category, just go ahead and plan to lose that. Home Video this week, one of the best picture nominees, and I think one of the best sports movies. I said it was a top 10 sports movie ever.
Yeah.
That seems like a big statement, but now that it was up for best picture, I feel better about that. Ford versus Ferrari is really good.
It is a fantastic movie, and I think you could still find it in the theaters here, which is really how you should see it.
Because I agree.
If you can find a good theater with a good sound system, I mean...
It won for sound editing.
Yeah.
To your point. Yeah, it won for sound editing.
It's a great film. It's got something for everybody.
I don't think you have to be a racing fan to enjoy it either. It's about the friendship.
Yeah, a lot of people look at it and they're like, oh, my wife does, but she hates racing. It's really... there's a lot more. There's a lot of family stuff in it.
Jenny liked Ford versus Ferrari.
Now, holy cow.
Yeah, I know. That tells you something.
It's the Jenny stamp of approval.
All right, so opening Sonic the Hedgehog. Mm-hmm. Fantasy Island, is this related to the old DePlay?
Yes. It is? Yes, but it's done as a horror film, so it may
be. Of course it is.
It may be rough.
Yeah, the plane may crash land. The Photograph?
The Photograph looks like kind of a romantic film. For the Valentine's weekend?
Clemency?
Ooh, Viola Davis plays a warden in a prison.
Oh, I've seen the previews for this.
Oh, boy, it's rough. It is very intense and a very sobering look at this poor woman and how this affects her life.
Yeah, there's a false imprisonment at some point, or maybe there is.
Possible false imprisonment and a botched death. So It starts off on a bad note and just keeps going.
Now, Downhill, I saw Will Ferrell and Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and I thought, has there been a movie more aimed for my sense of humor? But I've since read, unlike I did with Parasite, I did a little research on this, And I guess it's like really dark and
good.
It's not silly.
Good.
So I'm disappointed. You probably are like, okay, now I'll see it.
Wow. This might be finally a good one.
I grant you, Holmes and Watson was rough. Although the buzz was so bad, I think I enjoyed it more than I expected.
Yeah, I was going to say, everybody expected it to be absolutely horrible, and it was just horrible.
Jeez. It's another critic line there. The Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
I have no idea what it's about, but the critic score on IMDb is at a 95. There's a special screening at the Fleur tonight. It doesn't open until March. So I'm thinking, okay, well, I got to teach class tonight. Oh, class got canceled because of the weather, so I'm headed to the Fleur.
It's cold in Iowa? You canceled class?
I don't know. It's supposed to be bad. Class starts at 7.
And in this particular class, so. More than maybe even an average class, I mean, God is with you in the room, right?
Yeah. Now he's going to be with me at the Fleur.
Okay.
I'm taking him with me.
Fair enough. Thank you, Mr. Movie.
All right. See you next week.
All right. We'll be right back with the
best solution.
Time now for the AD Squared.
Jerry Roenick, not going to be back with NBC. He talked about it on Twitter earlier today.
I'm very disappointed and angry today. I will not be returning to NBC. And though disappointed, I'm also grateful that I've had the opportunity to share my love, my passion, my knowledge of the game with millions of people, millions of fans. And for that, I thank you. Even though I'm leaving NBC, I will not be gone for long. I'll be back better and more motivated to bring you the best entertainment and the best that I have for the game of hockey. I've seen all the support. I've read all the support. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. It's overwhelming. And for that, I can't wait to see you soon.
All right. There's, I could hear some of the emotion in that. Quickie poll results presented by WCI Pools and Spas. If a head coach bolts under contract, should players and recruits be free to transfer with immediate eligibility? 93% of you say yes. Just 7% say no. And in the Royal Mile inbox, Ward asks, what's the argument for no? I think the right answer is yes, but Trent, would you say the argument for no is just when it impacts your team and you don't want to lose recruits or players?
It's as simple as that.
I think that's when we can all become hypocrites, even though we know we're being hypocritical. It's like, I don't want to lose this guy. I don't want to lose these players.
And my college was a great place. Why would he want to leave?
Yeah. Yeah. You're supposed to commit to the school, not right. The coach, that kind of thing. But I think the right answer, as 93% of you picked, is yes. That's going to do it for the Murph and Andy Show today. Thank you, Trent. Coming up next, the Sports Fanatics with Ross Peterson and Chris Williams.